Thank you. Let's come before the Lord and ask them to bless us tonight. Our God and Father, we come into your presence tonight in that name that is above every name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do give thee thanks tonight for the star of Bethlehem. I thank you for that great night when the Lord Jesus came to this earth. O night divine, O night, O holy night. We do give thanks that he ever came. Remember that Paul says, when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem those that were under the law. I thank thee for his condescension, bringing us redemption, that us mere humans of the dust could come and accept him as our Saviour. Thank you for the great work of Calvary that he came to do. Thank thee that he completed the great work and satisfied God. Thank thee that he cried, it is finished, and the great price of redemption was paid. I thank thee tonight that there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and a door that's open, and all may go in. And at Calvary's cross is where we begin when they come as sinners to Jesus. Oh God, we pray for the moments that lie ahead. We pray for Doreen and for Jennifer as they sing tonight the gospel pieces. Lord, help them as they exalt their Saviour. Remember the choir as they come up on the screen tonight too. And then as we open thy word and turn to the text tonight and proclaim the wonderful riches of Christ, we just pray for help, Lord, and we pray for blessing. We can't do it alone. Be to us all that we need tonight, Lord. Hide us behind the cross. And pray, O God, that the things that thou give us in a quiet place would come into our minds, and pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move and direct our every word. We just pray that thou wouldst come and bless us tonight. And ere the lights go out in this building, O God, that some would come to know the Saviour. Bless the word that goes out over the internet tonight. Thank thee tonight for the universality of the gospel message. Thank thee for the whosoever of the gospel call, all may live, for Christ is dead. Bless those that have left tonight too, Lord. There's those that have left tonight to sing the word. There's those that have left to preach. And wherever an effort goes forth tonight, in these the closing days of time, we pray that many would come to know the Saviour. And so, Lord, we come in and commit ourselves to thee, as we ask for help and look for blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have Doreen and Jennifer, and they're going to come and sing to us now. Thank you.
Well, as you all know, it was to be Hannah here tonight singing, and unfortunately she developed a sore throat. Very unfortunate for me, because I wasn't brave enough to sing on my own, so I roped my sister in. You can always count on your sister. So she's given me a hand here. We're just going to sing a couple of wee pieces together. We trust that God will bless into your hearts.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. Pride and joy he brings. but greater still, there can assurance this child can face on certain days, because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he test. Jesus, wonderful.
Tonight, too. Jennifer and Doreen are going to come and sing again. Thanks.
Can I just say thank you to everybody who took part in the choir? It's lovely seeing a new face there as well. Thank you to Lynn for playing at the last minute for us tonight. As I say, it was very last minute, and we've only had a few runs over this. It's a new piece to us. It's called Living Hope. And you know, tonight I hope that. If your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a great hope, a hope of eternal life. And in these chaotic days, isn't it nice to know that you have a hope in Him, one who's everlasting? I just hope if you're here tonight and you don't have that hope, that you would go home tonight with it and that you would ask Him to be your Saviour.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the that sealed the promise. Your body buried began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the
has no claim on me. Jesus Christ, you're the victory. On me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. Broken every chain, there's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Thanks to Doreen and Jennifer again. Let's pray. I want to thank you tonight that you have broken every chain and there is salvation in that name. I thank you tonight that Jesus Christ is our living hope. Lord, we pray as we turn to your word tonight that as pages were shown before us, that you would give us the finest of the week, that you would help us, Lord, to exalt and make much of the Saviour. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn, please, to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 2. I love that piece, Jesus Christ, our living hope. Matthew chapter 2, I'm going to make you work for a wee minute. I want you to look at four verses tonight. I know you're saying it's usually three, but it's four tonight that I want to link together. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. His star. John chapter 19, the Gospel of John. In chapter 19, the Gospel of John chapter 19, for one verse, verse 17 it is. John 19:17, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Now back to the Psalms. I told you I was going to make you work. And so we're going back to the Psalms. His star, his cross. Psalm chapter 9. Psalm number 9 and one verse, verse 7. Psalm 9, verse 7. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. So if you're awake, you'll find that this stage it will have a star. And we're turning back to the Gospel of John. We'll have a star. And we have his cross, and we have his throne. And when we go to John chapter 14, John chapter 14, and verse 27, one verse. John 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And the Lord will bless his word to us tonight. His star, his cross, his throne, his peace. I want to think about it very simply tonight, and we're going to be trying, but we've done it 8 o'clock. His star in the heavens, his star in the heavens. I want us to think then about his cross on the hill, his throne in the highest, and his peace in your heart. Who is he in yonder stall, at whose feet the shepherds fall? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Who was he in the yonder stall? Well, the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke tell us about this great night in Bethlehem. What a night it must have been in Bethlehem. These shepherds were minding their flocks by night. They'd done it every night. Because if they hadn't have minded their flocks by night, well, then animals would have came, maybe a lion or a bear or a wolf or something, a fox, and the sheep would have been killed. And so these men were on the hillsides of Bethlehem on this great night. Mind you, there were some great nights in the Bible. I was thinking about this tonight as I got washed before I came out to the meeting. I was thinking about Exodus chapter 12, that great night in Egypt when God passed through and when the door, the lintels and the side posts were covered in blood. And the promise of God was this: when I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a night it was in the land of Egypt. There was a great night in the land of Babylon. In Daniel chapter 5, that great night when Nebuchadnezzar made a great feast for thousands of his lords. And this great party was up and flowing, and the drink was in and the wit was out. And then the fingers of that man's hand appeared. Do you remember? Wrote on the wall, many, many, tackle you forcing. There was a great night in Egypt. There was a great night in Babylon. But this was the night of all nights. The night that Christ was born. And these shepherds were on the hillsides of Bethlehem. And I was trying to picture them. Maybe they were lying back on the grass with their arms behind their head, and they were looking up into the stars, that clear eastern sky that night. And lo, an angel of the Lord appeared. What a sight that must have been. And then he was joined by a heavenly host. And Morris reminded us of it last Sunday morning, the Shekinah glory of God shone in Bethlehem that night. The angel said, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people and all nations. And unto you is born this day in the city of David," the place where there were, the city of David, Bethlehem, "a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And suddenly, with the angel, the heavenly host, and the song, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace upon earth, goodwill to all men." Coming on the other side of the town, the wise men came. They had been with Herod. And they came to Bethlehem. And they came, these men were astrologers. Again, Morris reminded of us last Sunday morning how they came from the east. And they had traveled for many, many days, even perhaps up to 2 years, they had came to be in Bethlehem this very night. Thousands of miles had came. And they came and they asked this great question: "Where is he that is born the King of the Jews?" Listen to it. "We have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." That's the first question in our New Testament. Where is he? Men seek God. Do you remember the first question in our Old Testament? God seeks man. And Adam had sinned in the Garden of Eden, and he hid himself, and God came in the cool of the evening, and he said, "Adam, where art thou?" And now man seeks God. They say, "Where is he that is born the King?" You'll notice that they said they've seen his star in the east. They didn't say, "We've seen the star in the east." We didn't say we seen a star in the east. They didn't say we seen some star in the east. They said we seen his star. It's a possessive pronoun. I've been working on it all day now. A possessive pronoun. When you lift the verb, sorry, the noun. When you lift the noun out, and then when you link it to the Greek, it's the great meaning of possession. His star. You know, some men have achieved great things in their life. And some men have done great things commercially, great conquests, great personal achievement, great achievements in business, great achievements in politics and different things. And because of these men's efforts, there are things that are named after them. I was reading just this week, John D. Rockefeller in New York, the wealthy business tycoon who began his own petroleum company, set up Exxon, E-X-O-N, became a billionaire overnight, and give much of his wealth away to different charities in the city of New York. Still one of the wealthiest families in America even today. And in memory of John Rockefeller, a great leisure and shopping facility was built in Times Square called the Rockefeller Center, named after John D. Rockefeller. Thinking locally of that man in Portadown, Alan McLay, who formed the great pharmaceutical company Galen. He later sold it and began again and established Almac. Maybe some in here tonight work in Almac or over the sound of the internet tonight. And Alan McLay gave much of his wealth away as well, so that a library in Queen's University now is named after Sir Alan McLay. Maybe a leisure centre. Maybe a library. Maybe some lovely building. Maybe a wing to a hospital or something like that. But this night in Bethlehem, no one ever had a star. And this star appeared in the sky, and men, in their foolishness over the generations of time, have tried to explain it away about eclipses of moons and different things. How rubbish. The Bible says, we have seen his star in the east. We have come to worship him. God sent a star that night. What a night. Oh, night divine. Oh, night that Christ was born. His star in the heavens. John 19 reminds us of his star, his cross on a hill. Who is he on yonder tree? Days in grief and agony. Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. We praise God, we thank God for his star that night. But we praise God for his cross. His star in the heavens. Thank God. But let's praise God for his cross on the hill. You see, each of us are born to live. I used to hate it, but there's no point. I was born on the 19th of July, 1971. And so if I'm spurred to July, I'll be 50. That's a wee date for your diary. But I was born to live. That night that I was born, it was a Wednesday night, I was born to live. And yet the moment that I was born, I began to die. Because within my heart, even as a baby, you see, and I was born in sin. And in sin did my mother conceive me. And because Adam sinned way back at the beginning of time, well, then the great curse and cancer of sin is passed upon all men. And so all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm just a rotten sinner. And without offending you, so are you. And we were born, yet we were born to live. And this night in Bethlehem, there was one who was born to die. He wasn't born to live. His sole purpose of coming onto this planet, of stepping out of eternity and coming into our time, was that he was born to die. Now let's remember that Bethlehem was not the beginning. Some churches, we'll not go into it tonight, think and preach that Bethlehem was the beginning. Not at all. God existed in eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then at the beginning of time, you remember how John 1 reminds us of that. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so the Son was part of the triune God on the day of creation. But then Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, he says this. It's when the fullness of the time was come that God sent forth his Son. You see, there's God has a plan and a purpose of time. It was in the beginning. It wasn't before the beginning, because God existed before the beginning. But it was in the beginning that God created the heaven and the earth. That was his purpose and that was his plan, the plan of God. And then this was the great plan of God, that when the fullness of the time was come, and it come this night in Bethlehem, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Now listen to this. The Son of God became what he never was before, but he never ceased to be what he always was. Now, that's not my words. So if you have a red pen, write it down and underline it time and time again. He became what he never was before, but he never ceased to be what he always was. He was the Son of God. He took on human flesh. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. David reminded us this morning of that great central cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? As we remembered the Lord this morning. In those dark hours upon the cross, when God forsook his Son and he poured the great price and pardon and punishment for our sin upon the cross, upon his Son, in the darkness alone. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, how dark the night the Lord passed through, or he found the sheep that was lost. He bore the price and the punishment of our sin from God's heaven to a manger. From great riches to the poor came the Son of the Man of Sorrows, Christ the Lord. In my wandering he found me, bought a soul, bought my soul with his own blood, and gave to me a peace this world could not afford. It started at the cross. It started at Bethlehem, but it went to the cross. His star in the heavens. His cross on the hill. His throne in the heavens. Who is he who from his throne rules o'er all the worlds alone? 'Tis the Lord. Oh, wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all. Isaiah, as he wrote prophetically 1,000 years before Christ was born, he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name, his shoulder and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And anyone on to say, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end upon the throne of his father David and upon his kingdom. To order it and to establish it with justice and with judgment and justice from henceforth and forevermore. He is an infinite person. He will rule in infinite power with an infinite purpose and an infinite place to an infinite people. He sits on the throne tonight in the highest. He's able and he's willing to save all that come on to Christ through him. He's all wise tonight. He's all knowing. He's all loving. There's none like him tonight. And yet his throne is prepared. John 5, verse 22 reminds us that the Father judgeth no man, but has given all judgment to the Son. And someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, his throne in the heavens. And from that throne, he will judge and he will rule the world. When we think of the judgment of God, we think of two thrones. We think of the Bema throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ, and about the great white throne judgment. We think about the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema throne, where all those that in their lifetime have given their life to God, have trusted Christ and his blood, and whose sins are paid for and have been born again, we, each of us, will stand before that throne, before the judgment seat of Christ. And listen now. Our motives, God will judge them. Our works, God will judge them. Things that were done for him, things that were done for self, each of us will stand before him, Christian, brother and sister tonight. How it should humble us and how it should shake us in our lives day by day. And then Revelation tells us about the great white throne sat somewhere in the heavens on that great judgment day, when the dead, small and great, will stand before God and the books will be open, and he will judge those out of the things that are written in the book. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. Judgment. And yet God took on human flesh. Be born, to be born in a manger, the sorrow and the shame, and to go to that cross on the hill and pay for our sins with his own precious blood. A star in the heavens. His cross on the hill. His throne in the highest. As I finish tonight, I wonder, have you his peace in your heart? The Lord said himself, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be afraid, neither let it be troubled. I wonder at the end of 2020, at Christmas time, do you have a peace in your heart tonight? Horatius Spafford, that great American lawyer and Presbyterian elder, he invested in real estate in Chicago in 1871. Just a few months later, the great fire of Chicago came and reduced all his real estate to ashes, lost everything financially. Not to be put off by that, Horatius Spafford began to work again in his lawyer practice and began to build a portfolio of property again. Man was exhausted, and so 2 years later, after the fire in 1871, Spafford booked for himself, his wife, and his three daughters to go to Europe on a trip, on a holiday for a little while, to recharge his battery. At the last minute, literally as they got up on the gangplank of that liner to head across the Atlantic, Spafford was called back on business. He persuaded his wife and his three daughters to go on and to go to Southampton, and that he would meet them in London in a few days' time. He was back in his office and on his business. And as that liner headed across the Atlantic Ocean on November the 22nd, 1873, it struck an iron boat and sank very quickly. 226 people were drowned, including Spafford's three daughters. His wife survived, and when she landed in Southampton, she sent a telegram back to Chicago, and on that telegram was two words: saved alone. Spafford was heartbroken. He got on the next boat for Southampton and in mid-Atlantic, where his three daughters had perished the week before. He took his pen in his cabin and he wrote a poem, which now is that great hymn, "When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way. When sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot has taught me to know, it is well. It is well with my soul." I wonder tonight, is it well with your soul? I wonder tonight, have you a peace in your soul tonight at the end of 2020, when COVID is sweeping this planet, this pandemic, and when restaurants and public places are closed, and we're restricted in everything we do, and when men's hearts are failing them for fear, and politicians don't know what way to turn, I wonder tonight, have you a peace? I wonder, have you his peace in your heart? Can you lay your head on your pillow at night as Christmas comes and say, "Jesus Christ," as a girl sang tonight, "is my living hope"? Who can imagine how great a mercy? What heart could fathom what boundless love? His peace in your heart. What a promise the Lord left in this verse. Peace I leave with you. May peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. His star in the heavens, his cross on the hill, his throne in the highest. I wonder tonight, have you his peace in your heart? Come to Christ tonight. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we commend the moments of this meeting to thee. Lord, we pray tonight that when the preacher's voice is silent, that God's voice will be heard. May you use what has been sang and what has been feebly spoken tonight to speak to some soul in this sanctuary tonight or across the airwaves tonight. We pray the Spirit of God would move, would convict souls, bring salvation, and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus for his sake. Amen. The group are going to come and sing that great hymn, "Who Is He in Yonder Stall." When they do that, let me ask Denver at the front here if he'd commend us to the Lord before we go home. Thank you.
Shepherds fall, 'tis the Lord.
In your favor, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.